Good morning. Can you join me in a call to worship? And let's all stand. When all hope seems lost, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
When fear hovers close at hand, Christus ist erstanden. When disillusionment and despair threaten us, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Let's turn to number 273 in the blue hymnal, and we'll sing all the verses. Down, how about you take a little minute and greet your neighbor? Welcome everybody this morning, and I was worried after the rain last night that it would be still raining this morning, but we awoke to beautiful sunshine and now the earth looks fresh and very green. Are there any guests that need to be introduced this morning? Would like to be introduced? Well, I see some familiar faces who haven't been here very much, and I would just like to extend a welcome to everybody. All right. I guess take note of the show and shine that's happening in June. They're giving you plenty of notice to dust off your classic car that you have in your garage. I know we will be working on ours. So also just a note about the chat and play group on Wednesdays. If you have a young child, we'd love to see you there. Moving into sharing time, our condolences go out to the friends and family of Susanna Harder, who was age 91, who passed away on Monday, April 10th. And the funeral services will take place at Friends Funeral Home on Tuesday, April 18th. And then we have a birth announcement from Dietrich and Anna Funk, are pleased to announce the birth of their newest granddaughter, Tegan Elizabeth McDonald Funk, and born April 11th. And the parents are Chris Funk and Amanda McDonald. And a note, a little bit of a sadder note to add to that, is the baby that was born had some complications and had to have a surgery on her brain to remove a blood clot. She's in stable condition now at Health Sciences still, and they're awaiting, she'll need further surgery to correct the issue. So please keep that family in your prayers, as they will be going through a rough time in the next few months, I'm sure. And let's all stand and look at number 581 in the hymnal and sing a memorial hymn for Susanna Harder, and we'll do the first verse in German and then the first verse in English. To allow a little bit of time for other sharing, is there someone that has something they'd like to share with our church family? No? All right, well then we'll move into the children's story.
Oh, what's wrong?
Good morning. We're almost all happy today. This is the reason that we all come to church is this Sunday. What is special about today? It's Easter. Why is that special? Oh, you get chocolate, yes. You do. That's very important, yes. Jesus rose from the dead. On Friday, this church was not quite the same decorated. The decorations were much different on Friday. We had a lot of black hanging around, and people were singing Easter songs, but we always had to leave out the last verse, which was the good part where Jesus wakes up, because on Friday, we were thinking about the day that Jesus was hung on the cross for us. But today, have we been singing happy songs already? That choir, they were rocking, weren't they? We actually clapped. It's pretty cool. Today, we are celebrating that Jesus did not stay in the grave. He came back to life. Now I have in my hand here, can you all see what is that?
Happy
It's an egg, and it's the best kind of egg. Do you know why? It's empty. Did you know why that's the best kind of egg? No, it's not because you can put stuff in there. It's so you can remember that on Easter morning, when people went to look at Jesus' tomb, it was empty. Empty. So I know full eggs are more fun, but after you eat your eggs today, your candy, open the candy eggs, and they're empty, you can remember it's a good thing that the tomb was empty. Awesome. Can we bow for prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you so much that the tomb was empty. Be with us as we live our lives in a world where you are with us. Amen. Amen. And I think today, you're going down to Sunday school, I have something that I made for you too. If you don't get one, I'm going to come downstairs and get your name, because I knit like crazy, but I didn't finish as many as are here, I don't think. So come take one, and if you didn't get one, I'll come get your name and you'll get one next week, okay?
While the children are filing out, let's open our brown hymnals to number 565, I Know That My Redeemer Liveth. And we'll take the offering at this time. Bow for prayer. Living God, we thank you for your sacrifice for us. Work in our lives and transform our hearts and minds to be a reflection of you. We pray for those in countries torn apart by war and strife, that they may know your peace. We pray for those who are hurting or sick. We especially pray for the family and friends of Susanna Harder, and let them experience your peace in their mourning. And we also pray especially for Tegan Funk and her parents, Chris and Amanda. We pray for healing for Tegan and that Chris and Amanda feel your loving and calming presence. Now let's pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You join me in reading the Confession of Faith from the bulletin. O living God, who raised Jesus from the dead, we shout your great victory. We sing hymns of praise.
Even when our hearts are heavy, our lives are deep with sorrow, you are faithful. You wipe away all tears, and bring joy in the morning.
Teach us, O God, to trust your gracious love, to rest in your unfailing goodness, to hope in your true promise, that we may rejoice all our days and share the good news. Alleluia. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. John, from John 20, verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they have laid him." When Peter and the other disciple set out and went to the tomb, the two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down and looked in and saw linen wrappings laying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings laying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been laying, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around, and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned around and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
My life, my strength, my soul is full. wish you all a very happy Easter, and I apologize because I am going to start with a cartoon this morning. It's an important question that's raised in that cartoon. Now, the young ones may not remember, but those a little older will. Calvin and Hobbes. Calvin asks the question. He asks, "Why do you think we're here?" Hobbes, "Because we walked here." Calvin, "No, I mean here on Earth." Hobbes, "Because Earth supports life?" Calvin, "No, I mean, why do we exist?" Hobbes, "Because we were born." Calvin, "Forget it." Sometimes I feel like saying like that. Just, you know, there are questions in life you don't seem to be able to find an answer for. Forget it. In our gospel story today, we have Mary. Mary, you are facing the same conundrum that Calvin is facing. Namely, having a question without any imaginable answer. There seems to be no answer at all. The events of the last few days were unbelievable. And they had flung her life into chaos. She was living grief beyond comprehension. Questions far beyond any answer she could see. And that morning, all the questions were looming, and no answers anywhere to be found. You know, it all started in the dark. John tells us it was the first day of the week, and it was still totally dark. No hint of light at all. The darkness that covered everything was not just a physical darkness, but also an inability to see through the darkness, an inability to understand what had happened. So, hidden by the dark events of the last days, Mary could not help herself but return to the gravesite, trying to find something, some answer, to make a sense out of what was left for her. She wanted to start there, in the last place she had seen Jesus, ground zero of whatever life was left for her, or that she could imagine, or that she might be rebuilt. All this while desperately wishing that things could be turned back to the way they had been before. Now, I want you to imagine that you are Mary. And if you have those questions, it's dark. You cannot see the future. You cannot find your answers. You don't know why you're here. And you wish it was all going back the way it was, the way you understood life. But it seldom is possible. So her mind questioning everything that has happened, probably quite befuddled in her grief, she goes back to the graveside. The horror of the cross is still with her. And she had, with the other women, hurried to prepare the body before the Sabbath began. Now Sabbath is over. She had to go back. Not an unreasonable wish. Just a few chapters ago, Jesus was the beloved and famous rabbi, and his wisdom and his reputation were growing rapidly. the possibilities of everything that could happen for the Jewish people under his leadership were just unimaginable. They were on the brink of revolution. Mary knew it. And she had given up everything to follow him. There had to be a way to go back. Go back. She had to go back just in case. Just in case there was any way to salvage what was, to put things right again. So that just get things back to normal. Probably stunned and exhausted, Mary went back to the familiar. Back to the Savior she had loved and followed. What would the future hold? She didn't know. And she wouldn't even consider it. She only wanted to go back to the way it was. If only that was possible. And so she went to the tomb early that morning in the dark. And once she got there, she could see clearly that the foggy recollection of the last days was no imagination. It was even worse. The nightmare had gotten worse because the grave was opened, the body was gone. All the care and love the women had put into entombing Jesus' body had been upset. The stone moved, the seal broken, grave clothes piled there, but no body. John tells us that Mary runs to tell the disciples. This was a serious turn of events, of course, and grave looting was sacrilege. And she can't stop crying. She came back. And I'll disregard Peter and the other disciple at this point, but she comes back with the disciples, crying at the open tomb, weeping, and by then all alone, grieving the loss of everything in her life, everything she knew to be true about her life. 2 days ago, she had known who she was, Mary Magdalene, a disciple of Jesus. Now in the darkness, she doesn't recognize herself. The one she has become since she met Jesus. And she couldn't see through the darkness to know who on earth she was supposed to be now. And as she stood there, weeping, she meets a stranger in the garden. The man must be the gardener, so she's pretty certain. Who else would be there? And he's nice, and he is friendly and compassionate. And asks her why she's crying. And if he can help her. And she said, yes. Do you know where the body is? Please help me. And then comes this one word. Mary. Her name. That was all he said. And then she knew. She knew. She knew that that voice pierced her foggy, befuddled chaos of her brain, and she looked up in sudden recognition, and she says, my teacher. In that moment when Jesus called her name, her whole world shifted, and she knew in an instant, nothing will ever be the same, even though she wanted to go back to the same old. As we always want to go back, to the good old days. If they were good or not doesn't matter. We always want to go back. And there she knows this is a possibility. It is great potential. One moment she was in the throes of grief, surrounded by darkness. The next moment she recognizes Jesus and the light begins to dawn. In a strange interaction, if you think about it. I know Mary was tired and emotionally drained, But I don't think she would have recognized Jesus. She should have. I don't know. Maybe she was so overcome with grief and her eyes blind with tears that she didn't see or know or really recognize what went on around her. But the writer of the Gospel of John wants to do more than that. He is not so much interested in the confusion as in what the idea is of telling this story. When Jesus calls Mary by her name, it's right then that she is able to see. At that moment, when she encounters the risen Christ for the first time, it changes her life. Her hopes suddenly rise. He is here. He is alive. Everything can get back to normal, can go back to the way it used to be, only to plummet when Jesus said, "Nope, Mary, that's not going to happen. It's time to let go." Now that I have called you by name, and you have witnessed the power of God, everything changes. Now it is your story to tell. In that moment, Jesus asks her to change everything, which is nothing new when you read the Gospels and you think about it. There's not one person in the entire Gospel of John who is not asked to change, and change in a big way. "Lay down your nets," he says. That is, give up the security of your life, your income, your family, your home, everything you know. He says, "Do you want to be healed? Then do this." And that's the unimaginable. He says, "Repay those from whom you have stolen." He says, "Get up and walk," to the one who didn't know how to walk. And for Mary, it is nothing different. When God calls your name, everything changes. It's personal. And it asks for a response. Oh, if only everything could stay the same. Everything we believe about God and everything we know about ourselves. That would be comfortable, wouldn't it? I mean, just the idea is comforting to me. If you knew who we are, if you knew who God is, never mind what anybody else says, then we would have peace, right? Very, very comfortable. We want to believe in a God that fits our hopes and imaginations. We want to believe in ourselves and have our own identity that is not bothered by a God who upsets everything we know about ourselves. But the resurrection is definitely not about staying the same. You know, when you celebrate Easter, you really celebrate radical change. Nothing is the same. Everything changes. For Mary, that meant going and telling. And she is known now by us 2,000 years later as the first witness to the resurrection, the one who had the courage to recognize God's work and to share the good news with other people. Yes, the good news of resurrection is that Jesus called Mary by her name and offered her an opportunity to follow the living God out of the dark despair of that morning into new and life-giving light. God called her name. And now he calls our names. You know, telling a 2,000-year-old story is a nice tradition, but likely won't change anything. I remember one time when our boys were still little and we were teaching them German Christmas carols. And there's a carol that goes, Alle Jahre wieder kommt das Christuskind. Every year anew the Christ child appears in our midst. And even though our boys were just little, they knew enough to say, that's stupid. That Christ would come every year. And we have traditions that we hold sacred and we celebrate them every year, but if you just recite history, it will not change our lives, will it? But remember, resurrection changes everything. It changes who we think we are. It changes who we know God is. It changes our relationship with Him and with each other. We cannot leave this place today to put the miracle of new life and the promise of resurrection back on the shelf until next year's Easter time. If you truly want to celebrate Easter today, then embrace the idea of the resurrection. Because God is calling our names, every single one of us, just like Mary. We are offered a personal invitation to go and to tell, to live our lives with the conviction that the good news of Easter, to live our lives with the knowledge that sin and death are overthrown, and the courage that the dead and dry ceremony celebrated once a year can also invoke new life. It's personal time. You know your name is personal, don't you? If anybody ever is touchy, is when you misspell a name or mispronounce it. So I am very careful to always ask, how do you say that? What is your name? How do you spell it? It's very important. Part of our identity, isn't it? And we don't want that disrespected. When God calls you by your name, it's personal. You, and you, and you, and you back up there, and me up here. We are called. Each one of us. Jesus wouldn't let Mary leave that day without her being changed. And Jesus doesn't want us to leave here today without the encounter with the resurrected one and being changed by it. If Easter means anything at all, we are going to walk out of here determined to practice resurrection. Not just say the words. Live it. Brothers and sisters, Jesus has called you by name and offered you the opportunity to practice resurrection. Can you hear the resurrection Savior calling you by your name? Today, the day of the resurrection, is certainly a good day to answer the call. Go and tell, Jesus says to Mary. Go and tell, he admonishes us, as he told Mary that day. Take this resurrection hope out of this building and take it into the world. To your workplace. To your home. To your free time. To the park. To your marriage. To your neighbors. Take this resurrection hope and live it. This is your task for this Easter. Know it, because God has called you. He's calling you by your name. So when I say, Christ is risen. What do you say? Amen.
Let's turn to number 269 in the blue hymnal. And let's stand if you're able and remain standing for the benediction and the closing song. To remind everyone of Willie Dick's funeral, which will be held on Wednesday, April 19th at 11. May the same power of love that raised Jesus from the dead fill you with life, empowering you to live fully, to love freely, and to praise God with your whole being. Praise be to God. Amen. Let's sing number 427.
Go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and all the trees are